Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
All right. Welcome to another Not a Thing podcast.
Another week, another podcast.
Yes, yes. Theme music here.
Still, okay. Still waiting on musical submissions.
Here's a hint. If you submit something, we will probably use it because we don't have anything yet. Or it'll force us to find something in a hurry. So in either case, everybody wins. So we just finished watching the pilot premiere of Revolution, which you may or may not have seen ads for all throughout the Olympics. That's if you were watching it on NBC in the United States, you would have seen ads for it because it was on pretty much every break that there would be ads for it. It needed, I think it needed the ads probably. I haven't looked to see how it did ratings wise. I'm sure it cleared whatever bar it needed to in order to continue as a show.
At least for one season.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should start off with a spoiler alert.
Yeah, we're starting with spoilers, yes. But don't be too concerned about there being spoilers because it's not really that worth it.
So if you have it on your DVR, I think if you have it on your DVR, it's probably worth watching once to find out if you would like it or not, because I think it is a show that you might be into. There are people that are into these kinds of shows, but I unfortunately am not one of them.
Well, I think it's one of those shows that either you're going to watch the pilot and you're going to think, this is terrible, I don't want to watch this, or this is okay, it has some things that might make me want to keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me the show was not compelling. Like there were a lot of missteps, kind of stylistically, and I didn't feel any buy-in to really a lot of the situation. Like so much of the situation, I really like Giancarlo Esposito as a bad guy because Breaking Bad.
Gus is the man.
But even he was not really in it so much to get that kind of feeling like, oh, I really want to see this. And I would be really only watching it for the bad guy, it only goes badly. Because to watch a TV show, especially an ongoing TV show for the bad guy, there's never a payoff.
Well, and watching a show that seems like it's set up a lot of different storylines to focus on one character, that means for the rest of the time you're going to have to suffer through or, you know, tread your way through those other storylines just so you can watch the one you're actually interested in.
Gross. Gross. I think the parallel to Heroes, unfortunately, is very high. Like, the opening shot of the world at the beginning of the show. You nailed it.
Waiting for that chapter one.
Yes. It's the premise of the show is kind of reframing the world in this post-apocalyptic kind of space, which it always amazes me when I see people who are clean-shaven in a...
Their clothes were all really clean.
Yes, that's true too.
And that tattoo that the guy had 15 years before looked really fresh.
Spoiler alert, the big bad guy, he tattoos his own name on himself, which is...
D-bag move.
Yes, yes, I wholeheartedly agree. I think he has kind of a stylized logo kind of a thing. Which is his initial, which is fine.
Maybe his dream after leaving military service was to start a corporation. And so he already had his corporate logo.
Yeah. Which just happened to be the his leading initial. But I thought the show was very lacking in many, many respects. I think it definitely has more action than most kind of network level TV shows.
Definitely more swordplay than any other show right. I can think of.
Right. For whatever that was worth, I guess. Although I still didn't buy most of it. I still think that the action was kind of formulaic. I mean, when you're sword fighting,
there was no intensity to the fights. No. It felt, I don't know.
No, he
really
he,
staged.
Yeah, he was clearly the guy that is fighting is clearly in charge of the situation, which is kind of okay. But he was not. I mean, it still takes effort to fight someone with a sword. You should look like you're actually swinging a sword. Yeah,
didn't even break a sweat.
Right. Right. Well, it would also mess up his hair. And
right.
Everything. Yeah. Too.
Reapply makeup and all that.
Perfectly, you know, maintained stubble.
Dystopian stubble.
Yes.
I think for me, right off the bat, I started to have worries about enjoying the show. Mm-hmm. Because the big set piece of the beginning of the power going out felt really like a knockoff light version of the far superior show Flash Forward, which didn't have a long lifespan, and I think it should have been on a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But that started out with planes falling from the sky and things going wrong, and
interesting.
That was on ABC.
Yes,
and I think I don't know. I just feel like this was a shadow of that show because that show had so much promise and had an intensity to it that this really was lacking.
Mm-hmm. Frankly, I think the like apocalyptic Earth, it's kind of been done. I feel like it might even be on the way out.
Yeah, some of the set pieces reminded me of what was that show with what's his name? The guy from like 90210, wasn't he on that show?
Oh, I'm not sure where you're going.
Not Jericho, the other guy from the Cosbys.
Oh, I just got lost. I'm totally in the wrong place. I don't know where you're going.
What was that show? Anyways, it was not had Sean Astin in it.
Oh no, it's killing me. I'm not gonna get it.
It took place in Cheyenne Mountain. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it felt like that. The point being that it felt like, you know, it's been done.
Yeah. And it bums me a little bit because I know there's a video game coming out that is made by Naughty Dog, which are the guys that did the PlayStation games for I'm not going to remember. Uncharted, which I thought was a great series of games. Their new game is not in the Uncharted vein. It's going to be, it's called The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, the Earth has been overgrown with plants because there's some kind of apocalyptic event that has happened. I think the more I hear about it, the more I'm concerned about it because, again, I feel like it's kind of poorly timed kind of subject matter-wise because not only is it post-apocalyptic, it's also the bad guys in the game are, like, infected with something that makes them crazy. So it's essentially kind of the
zombies, not zombies?
Yes, it's the zombies and kind of nature has reclaimed the city kind of look in the show and in the game, and all of the
kind screenshots, like I Am Legend kind of thing.
Yes. So all the screenshots I've seen of the game reminded me of, I mean, they were the only things in my head when we were watching the show. It's this woman who's kind of made her own clothes, but they still look stylish, and they don't really use guns, and it's kind of like, so, okay, well, we have to use bows and arrows, which I think is a good kind of interesting play for the sensors. You know, they're not shooting people.
Mm-hmm. So they're probably, so it's a little cleaner to do like that kind of thing. So they can probably get away with more on from a standards and practices kind of level,
if that, right,
that means anything to you. But I don't think that the show is very gritty in that it's not, it's still too light for a show that's about,
well, it's kind NBC.
Yeah. I mean, if you want apocalypse and there's like no hope, just watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Or if you want to take it off planet, another great post-apocalyptic show, Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
Oh, that show that we couldn't remember the name of.
Yes.
And I kept thinking of Jericho because that was also
post-apocalyptic.
Yes. Is Jeremiah.
Oh, I can see how that might... There might be some sticking between those two. Yes.
Okay. Like to go with the... Isn't that a biblical name? Like to go with biblical names and post-apocalyptic stuff.
That's probably a thing. Using...
A thing?
Biblical names for a... for apocalyptic movies. Just as a... kind of... way to play that. But I'm... Yeah. So my takeaway from... the show is that it's missable. You're not. I'm not gonna gain anything out of it. I don't think I'm gonna follow it. If I do, I don't think I'll miss anything coming back into it, because I don't think the timelines are gonna move very fast in the show. I see this is the kind of show that they're gonna try and stretch out, which would just make me frustrated that nothing would happen. They set up some things in the premiere that I think are deliberately they're probably convenient from a writer's standpoint, but from pretty much every other standpoint, it's cheesy. Like the there's kind of a turncoaty bad guy in it. I'm really disturbed that
it's... turncoat slash possible love interest slash not a turncoat slash
a turncoat anyway.
Yeah.
In other words, we pretty much he's set
conflicted.
Him up. Yeah, you set him up as a guy who is a convenient. We'll make him whatever we want to this week, kind of thing.
Well, his clothes were a lot nicer than the rest of the bad guys. He's wearing lighter colors.
I did notice that. Yes, very well-fitted kinds of clothes in the future, after people can't sew things anymore, I guess. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. I'm not sure. I did like the guy with the kind of laced-up shirt kind of thing. That was nice. Was like a shoelacy kind of motif on that. But, yeah, I think it's easy to miss that. I think it probably will find an audience. I'm not gonna bet that it gets canceled right away, but I do think it's probably gonna get canceled.
They'll give it a season.
Yeah.
And I mean, if I start reading online, you know, in a couple months that things are actually interesting happening on the show, I'll probably go back and check it out. Mm-hmm. But barring that, there's way too many other shows coming back right now. We're hitting that fall swing.
Right. Yeah, I remember, I think it was last year, Fox tried to push I'm not sure. Might have been something else. Was trying to push a Let's Go Back in Time and Their Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah, that was on Fox. Terra Nova.
And I love dinosaurs, and I like time travel, and I can see how there are some interesting elements in that show, and I didn't watch it. I watched like part of one, and I thought it was okay, but heavily depended on the kind of effects shots to carry the show. And then when it wasn't the effects shots, I was not interested at all in the drama, because there was no backstory for how or why I should care about anybody. And I am concerned that this show is going to have the same thing, but with less effects. It's like, oh, wow, that's a famous landmark that's covered in grass and vines and stuff. And it kind of gets boring to you can't do that.
You could just watch that. Was that History Channel or Discovery Channel, Life After People?
Oh yeah, I think that was a book. I'm not sure. But yeah, that sounded interesting. I didn't see the show. Because there's too much to watch.
There's too many channels with too many shows and too much crap.
So I'm not going to say outright that this is bad. I'm just going to say it's probably not good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. I wouldn't say, you know, complete official stamp of disapproval, but maybe not a thing.
Yeah.
Not quite yet.
The highest praise I'm going to give is could be a thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. in it, though, it is kind of interesting, like, what would you do in an apocalypse situation? Mm-hmm. There's always that kind of bent to it, and I'm kind of glad they didn't go into that too much. It's probably for the best not to incite people that are kind of on the fence about, like, maybe I should start storing food in my basement, or,
well, then you could just watch Doomsday Preppers,
or right, there are already shows for that. They don't need this show to be one of those, because the one of the conceits in the show is that they jump ahead 15 years from the apocalyptic event thing, not related to the event.
Another show I didn't watch. I watched the first episode and
is the problem that they're trying to use the is it just that sci-fi doesn't work on network TV, or is it that the way that they're doing it is wrong? Or they're...
I don't know, because the only one I can think of in recent history that's worked is Lost.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of shows are trying to get some of that mojo.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that. And it's also
that was successful enough that the writers on that show are now getting their own deals.
Yeah.
Shows like that and Heroes, mm-hmm. which, even though that didn't turn out so great in the end, people got success from that, and so now they're getting to make their own shows, so you kind of get those hints from those other shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's some good kind of pieces of it. It's just going to stick in my head that it was just kind of like, I could have done something else with that hour.
If the if the bar is this, would I rather watch this or a rerun of Lost, I'm going to keep watching reruns of Lost.
Hmm. Fair enough. I think that's a the reruns of Lost bar.
Yeah, I think that's the network sci-fi bar.
Excellent. Yeah, I think on a more kind of realistic note, for, like I said, for like preparing for an apocalypse, real or otherwise, I think there are some things, like really basic things, people should probably do. Just because we live in California, where the actual propensity for, like, world-changing kind of events is, I mean, it's non-zero. It's not very high, but it's non-zero. And I think earthquakes are a real kind of possibility in the area that would disrupt kinds of things for a significant amount of time. I mean, not, like, weeks, but certainly days.
Well, I think using hours, fictional apocalypse events, I mean, was it the CDC recently put out zombie mm-hmm. preparedness plans?
That's right.
Because there's crossover between disasters. I mean, if you're prepared for one, you're probably prepared for another.
Right, right.
Because you might want more ammo for a zombie apocalypse than for an earthquake.
Yeah. Although, maybe not zero.
Yeah, no.
But, I think the realistic implications kind of that are in there are good. And I think, you know, a little bit of paranoia is not bad. You know,
so I take it you've begun preparing?
I have my 3 days of food and water. That should be okay. I'm probably physically capable of making it home from my work. I've never mapped out the route, but I mostly know how to get back. So the funny thing, I've already kind of like figured out, I'll probably be able to beg, borrow, or steal a Google bike in order to make my way back.
Are the other companies gonna have like raids on the Google campus to go take their bikes? Like, that's the first sign of something has gone wrong. All right, we're storming the Google campus.
They probably have enough bikes for enough people, but you know, Google is almost a city unto itself. I'd be surprised if they didn't have, you know, their own kind of security force if they really needed it. So maybe stealing the LinkedIn bikes, which are actually nicer. They're kind of cruisers with a basket, so you could throw your laptop in there and just get off and go, no problem, right? I mean, the Google bikes are kind of small, they're kind of BMX-y, so you'd have to like be up on the pedals all the time if you wanted to go at any reasonable speed, which probably wouldn't work out. I've gamed this out a couple times.
I guess so.
Actually, the only time I feel like I have to be ready for the world to end is when I go to Shoreline for a concert and I'm on the lawn. There's just something about sitting on the lawn there and feeling completely helpless if anything were, you know, bad were to occur. There's just no way to get out of there. Even in the orderly fashion of everybody wants to leave, it still takes like 2 hours to get out of there. Like there's no like good food and fresh water in any like nearby place without spending like $15 or whatever. So what's really funny is I've made a kind of concert survival kit, is what I like to call it, which is there's a bag in my car with like two blankets, a hat and a scarf for when it gets like ridiculous cold out there. Sets of earplugs, because it's sometimes just a little too loud. Emergency water, glow stick, and beef jerky. Yeah. So yeah.
That seems, yeah.
I think being stuck out at a concert and not able to like get access to food and water for a little while you're trying to leave, I think that's a reasonable. That's more likely than an earthquake, in my opinion.
And if you're, you know, you go to a concert and you're a bit intoxicated, that's always, you know, good to have some food and water
around. Yeah, hydration's good. Yeah. Oh, that's what I should put in. I should put like some, like a small thing of like crazy headache meds and like food distress kinds of things.
I don't think cheeseburgers are long-term in there.
Okay, maybe not.
There's an inn out near Shoreline, right?
I think some of the doomsday scenarios are probably pushing it, but like you said, if you're prepared for, you know, just a couple days worth, a reasonable number, you know, based on your area and whatever is going to happen, you know, you places to meet and all that kind of stuff, you're probably going to be fine.
You're much better prepared than I am. I know what I would need to have.
Okay.
I don't have it, which is why my disaster plan when I lived down the street was go to Alan's house. There will be food and water and armaments. And from there, I can actually go procrastinating for the apocalypse. Yeah.
It's still a plan, which is probably more than many people have. So, so we're gonna have to open the Doomsday Prepper like forum on the Not a Thing podcast website, which is fine with me.
If you've got any suggestions or plans for the apocalypse,
let us know. Yeah, let us know, especially if we
sharing
can,
is caring, guys.
Yes. Cool. into now. Oh, so you found a really great article this week, which I'll link in the show notes. I hope people like the show notes kind of thing that I did last week. I added that into the post, just to kind of, you know, help, you know, see the other stuff that we talk about, because sometimes we are pretty
kind of, it's a non-visual medium, and yeah, sometimes we talk about things that you want to look at with your eyeballs. Yes. So,
and it's hard to link things in an audio,
yeah,
kind of context.
Okay, you're gonna want to go to
HTTP. Oh, that's the worst. I saw a PowerPoint presentation not too long ago where someone put a link in the presentation, like I'm gonna be able to click on it or something, but they didn't send the presentation out, so I don't know how I'm supposed to get that information now. I mean, the only worst thing is links in books, which I have seen. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not typing that out. You couldn't make me do that. I'm that's just unheard of. Just don't do that.
Unless you've got a Kindle, and then you can do that.
Oh, maybe that's what it's for. See, silly me and my physical media. That's what the problem is. That would solve everything.
Yeah. Unless you were in the show Revolution, and then your books are all screwed.
Yes. But with my luck, I would be like Burgess Meredith in the Twilight Zone episode, where I would need glasses and be the only person left on the earth and have as many books as I want, but I would drop my glasses at the last moment and then not be able to read anything. Brilliant episode of Twilight Zone. Most of those are actually really good. Twilight Zone,
yeah,
a thing.
Definitely.
Every time that's on the Sci-Fi Channel marathon, you should for sure pick it up.
Yeah.
I remember Channel 20, KOFY,
mm-hmm,
which used to be the WB affiliate, which I don't know what it is now, if the CW just folded it or if it's went independent or what, but they used to do Twilight Zone marathons, and they used to go for days. It would be like 4 days straight, and it's not like the Sci-Fi Channel ones where it's only during like daylight hours and after midnight it becomes infomercials. Mm-hmm. They were running them all night, and I would watch all of them. I love that show. Rod Serling smoking at the beginning of the episode, you know, during the kind of, you know, we're talking about the Twilight Zone, and he's just smoking, just for no reason, just because he could, probably.
Because that people breathed air and smoked cigarettes back then. That's just how it was. We've all seen Mad Men, right?
Yes, yes. I'm fine with that not being too much of a thing anymore. Actually, I'm kind of anti-cigarettes, but you know, hey, whatever. You know, it's on TV. I can't smell it yet until they figure it out. Smell-o-vision.
Smell-o-vision should not be a thing.
Yes. Smell-o-internet should not be a thing. Don't transfer it into the internet either. Just keep
going. Oh, that would be the worst Rickroll ever. Oh. He's like, ooh, click this smell link. Oh, that's not what it said it was. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make olfactory browsing a thing. Whatever you're doing, Silicon Valley.
Google stank.
Keep that out of my internet. Keep that out of my internet. So anyway, sorry. Back to your article, which will be linked in the show notes. Let me go back and
say yes. So I found this article, which probably a lot of people did because it was on the front page of Yahoo.
Oh.
But
wow, that's 2 weeks in a row we've tagged Yahoo. Marissa Mayer, come on. You can be on the podcast whenever you want. We'll work this out.
But what caught my interest as a trekker, and I know you are as mm-hmm, well.
Very much so.
Is a possible step forward in warp drive technology.
What? Yes, excellent. I love it.
So
love it. Continuing our theme from last week,
yeah,
and probably weeks past where we've said that
the closer we can get to Star Trek, the better the world would be.
Yes. Yes. Pretty much universally. Get it? Star Trek? Universally? Anyway, the short form was that warp technology, if you follow the show, I don't have to explain this for those that are not really Star Trek fans because Star Trek has not been on TV, as we've said in the past. The short form for how warp technology works is that it warps space-time and makes it so you don't have to travel as far as you would because you're traveling through space and time, so you get to places faster than you would normally. And the main thing that you overcome is the speed of light, and which is kind of crazy. I mean, if you're because it's really, it's really fast, in other words. But so I guess there was a kind of white paper or something that someone wrote that was like in 1994
was Mexican physicist Miguel. I can't even pronounce his last name. I know I'm gonna screw this up. Alcubierre.
Okay.
Doesn't sound very Mexican to me, but I'll go with it. Yeah, he wrote this series of calculations that essentially made you could make a device in the shape of a football that had a disc around it made of exotic particles, which we still haven't actually gotten. You know, we can't just make those.
Okay.
Or, you know, they're hard to find.
Right.
Or haven't been found. But theoretically, this is theoretical physics.
Yeah.
Is that you could bend space-time, creating a bubble around the craft, so that outside of the bubble, you would be traveling, you could travel faster than light. Right. But within the bubble, time-space would still be flat.
Right.
It would not be bent.
Yep.
So. Thus allowing you to go faster than light.
Right.
Which you need to do if you want to go anywhere in the universe, because everything's so freaking far away.
Yes. So for those of you that have lit up during this portion of the podcast, we salute you. This may require a little bit of help to kind of get past, but we're doing our best. We're not going to turn this into a what is that? Relativistic physics kind of show.
No. This is totally. I am a layman. You are a layman. This is the lay people show.
Yes.
So this guy came up with this calculation, made these calculations, came up with this idea.
Right.
They looked into it. They decided, or from the calculations they made then, that the power source you would need to make this work would be the size of Jupiter.
Oh.
Which is not workable.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Somewhat not scalable for your power source to be a huge planet, indeed. And did they say how big the space bubble would be if you used like a planet size?
It would have to be bigger than that.
Yeah, right.
So that made things hard, and people kind of left it alone.
Right.
But there was another guy who works at NASA now, and he tweaked the calculations. Yeah.
And NASA is awesome, by the way.
NASA. Definitely should be a thing.
Yes.
Fund that.
Yes.
So there's this NASA scientist who worked on the calculations some more, and instead of using a circular disc around this football-shaped object, you would use a donut-shaped ring. By oscillating the amount of power usage, you could use a power source. I mean, the problem before was that, you know, we don't have a power source that could be able to power this.
Right.
But now, with this change in the design and the calculations, you could have a power source the size of the Voyager spacecraft from the 70s. Which makes it a lot more possible.
Sure.
So now, this is still years in the future that we would even be close to this technology. But now they can actually start, they're working on small-scale experimentation with creating warp bubbles.
I love it.
That alone is amazing.
Yeah.
And us light years ahead of where we were a week ago.
Well done, sir. Well done.
So this, I'm really excited about this. I think it could be a cool thing. After some further research, there are some issues still to be overcome with this.
Sure.
One article I read suggested that if you were to create a warp bubble like this to travel through space-time, it would create a naked singularity Ooh. At the front of the bubble.
You had me naked. Which is
essentially... When you think black hole, singularity...
Yes. Black hole yeah. right in front of your craft.
Right in front of your spacecraft right. could have some negative effects.
Yes.
Another article I read... it was published, I think, in March from... I can't remember. Somewhere in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That... If you were, even if you were able to get this working,
mm-hmm.
stopping it, the amount of radiation and energy that would be output in the stopping process
mm-hmm.
would eradicate anything in your path. So the article, okay. the article was saying that if you were to show up at a planet where there was other life, you would wipe them out with gamma radiation by the time you showed up.
Ah. Yeah, kind of a problem.
So as it stands now... Still not functional, even if we were able to do it. Plus, finding exotic particles
oh, yeah.
that we could make this ring out or donut-shaped object out of.
I love how it's football and donuts.
So we can understand
it. Yes.
I'm good. Sure that's not what it says in the actual paper. But I was reading about this donuts. For a while today, and my head started to hurt okay. when I tried to look at the actual physics of it.
Yeah.
So in general terms,
yes.
it's cool, but it's got a long way to go.
Right. Right. You can make really tiny footballs and really tiny things. You see, I think this is the kind of thing that you could probably do with that, what is it, the Large Hadron Collider
mm-hmm.
Is it CERN?
CERN in yeah. Switzerland.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea. Go ahead and do that.
you need to get some unobtainium. to make this donut.
Yes.
A donut made of unobtainium.
Donut. I want to say the math term is torus for donut. TORUS. I don't know the math term for football. I don't know that one. I know that torus was a donut. Because toroidal is kind of a... Is donut shaped? I don't know why I remember that.
Probably because it has to do with donuts.
Donuts are, yeah, right. But that's bad that I don't remember the word for football. Because I like football too.
I think what they I think someone who could really take advantage of this whole scientific explosion
mm-hmm.
is Psycho Donuts. they could make warp drive donuts.
It could work. I could see that.
Or at least as a theme.
Yeah, sure. They would do like one. Yeah. Or something. It doesn't have to be forever. Special donut.
Yeah.
Yeah. The name check, not a thing podcast during the donut making process. We could work something out. They're good. I've tweeted at them and they've tweeted at me for just kind of mutual admiration of donuts. They're good. I like them. They have I want to say 3 stores now.
Oh, really?
It might just be 2. I know they have the one in Campbell. And then they have one downtown, kind of tucked into the camera theater downtown.
Oh, okay.
And I thought they had another one, but I might not be connecting it right. But anyway, Psycho Donuts is good.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend that if you're in the San Jose Bay Area and are in the need of a donut that is non-traditional. Although, probably the most traditional donut they have that I really, really like is they make one called Apricotology, which is essentially a bear claw, but instead of being like apple-filled, it's apricot filling-filled. And it's fantastic. It's really, really quite good. Psycho Donuts, not a sponsor.
Yet.
We thank you in advance. No.
Well, it's fitting after a discussion of warp drive technology and telling people to spark up, then you talk about donuts yes, afterwards. It, you know, it flows.
It flows. Exactly. Exactly. Local businesses. Yeah. Local businesses should be a thing. I'm really a big fan.
Yeah.
I was a local business very briefly.
Yes.
For all of, I guess technically I still am. I'm still paying the LLC tax anyway. But yeah. I was part of the Chamber of Commerce and everything. It was full on.
Wow.
But
I couldn't go to, or I mean, I could. I just didn't enjoy going to the meetings. I think it's because my business was much more just me. And mm-hmm. so I didn't really have a lot of operating costs, shall mm-hmm. we say.
Not a lot of HR problems.
No, no. So there were a lot of things that were probably would have been helpful if I had a like a consultancy or something where I had like a staff or had to deal with like a payroll and taxes and stuff like that. I mean, I did have to deal with taxes because you pretty much can't escape them. but yeah, it was probably more geared towards slightly bigger businesses than my very, very small business that I had. But I do like that there are still small businesses around and in the area. It's good. There are a lot of good ones. We should probably like list some or think of some.
And maybe we could even do an episode about different
yeah
businesses.
Right. Or one thing that we're going to do. We haven't implemented it yet because we're still kind of taking submissions for people. Is we want to do kind of an interview segment on the show.
Yes.
And we'll give more details about this kind of as they go, or pretty much whenever we get around to it more honestly. But yeah, I mean, we're like we had, you know, set out, one of the things that we like to do is kind of highlight things that are not things or are less emphasized and are kind of really interesting. And so we know a few people that fit that mold, and we'll probably have them on and interview them. So if those come up, don't be alarmed. We're not, you know, expanding the show or anything permanently people-wise. It's still me and Brendan talking.
The two-man con.
It's still as weekly as we can get it. We're still keeping the schedule, so it's working out.
Yep.
So it's good. But yeah, so look for that in the future for the podcast. I'm not sure if it'll be a thing that replaces the show or is just an addition, or if it's just a segment, or maybe we'll have a separate, I don't know.
It's going to be a thing.
It's going to be a thing, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good for today.
Yeah. Yeah. We do appreciate everyone that listens. We're now on Twitter, not just as ourselves. I'm still Nice Hat and
Brent's still Wide Lightning.
Wide Lightning. We're expanding the Twitterverse a little bit.
Yeah, we now have an official Twitter handle for the show. It's at Not A Thing Cast.
Excellent. And yes, we tried to get Not A Thing Podcast, but
it's too many letters.
One letter too long.
And some tool is sitting on Not A Thing.
Yes. Yes, and has not tweeted at all.
Hasn't done anything with it.
But are we going to do anything to try and get it? No, because we're not that kind of people.
That's not how we roll.
we will not cave in to terrorism. What? Oh wait, no. That's not what I meant. We will cave into terrorism. We're weak. We're weak people. But we're not gonna go seek out like every domain name and handle on every service ever to try and pull them all in, because I tried that a while ago and it's really hard.
There's a lot of services out on the internet.
There are services that will go and register for you on all of these other places. I just they're kind of online identity management services is what they're being billed as. I didn't know that was a thing until just recently. Huh. that people would do that, but they not only would go and register your name or trademark or whatever on everything they could possibly do, they do that, and I don't know if they assign a person to do it, but they you can have like kind of a social media manager, and you can have that at whatever degree you want. Like you tell them and they will tweet or Facebook and Google Plus and Tumblr and whatever else out all of your posts.
I'm not sure that should be a thing.
No, I think it's probably good from a like intellectual property point of view. If you're like someone
like a you're making a movie and maybe you just want to be in control. I kind of see it from a control point of view. You want to be in control of all of your like publishing and marketing outlets, but I also see it as kind of slightly, I don't know, narcissistic, maybe. It has narcissistic implications about how, I mean, like, I don't think it should be
not as narcissistic as getting your name tattooed on yourself.
Yeah, that is kind of high up there, but I think social media management almost needs to be a thing now. I think enough people are into it, but it's not the same as kind of traditional marketing kind of outputs. So it doesn't need to be like its own position at a company or anything, but it is kind of a skill unto itself to be able to do it. That being said, you know, pick maybe one or two or three modes of communication and stick with those. Like, mm-hmm. Be exclusive. It's an okay thing. You don't have to be on every service all the time. I say this from experience. For those that know that I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, and I've actually just started Instagram, and I'm not. Yeah, it's bad, but I do like the image workflow better on Instagram than through Facebook proper.
Yeah,
because I know they're on by Facebook. Whatever, I've made my peace with that. Anyway, I'm ranting. We're going over time. I can feel it as we speak. So,
well, if you have been enjoying the show and our past shows, tell a friend.
Yes.
That's how we grow this baby.
Exactly. Grow this, like, kind of scientifically engineered baby that is not playing God or anything like that.
This powers our test tube.
Yes. But is it really? It's a full baby. We've birthed it. It's for real. So it's not really in a test tube anymore. It's more like the.
It's just in a bigger test tube.
Yeah, yeah. This metaphor has gone off the rails.
And on that note, until next time, Alan.
All right. See you later, Brendan.